of intercession. Amen. Our key or our golden text. Thank you. Our key or golden text will be found in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's start from verse 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers,
Amen.
Against the rulers of the darkness of this world,
That's right.
against spiritual wickedness in high places. The margins or the NESB says in the heavenly realms. Hallelujah. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench most of the fiery darts of the wicked. No, all the fiery darts of the wicked. All. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18. Praying most of the time.
No.
Praying only when you are in adversity.
No.
Praying always.
Always.
With all prayer. All the different types of prayer. What are some of the different types of prayer? There's a prayer of supplication, the prayer of intercession, the prayer of thanksgiving,
That's right.
the prayer of faith, the prayer of consecration, the different types of prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for your family members, for all saints. Hallelujah. But you realize that, going back to verse 18, you realize that watching thereunto, if you and I don't watch, it is hard to know what to pray about. Because Jesus said, watch and pray that ye fall not into temptation. Why is that the case? Because sometimes you have to be careful and alert, vigilant, watch. When you see that the devil is playing tricks, or you can see that the devil is trying to do something, then you pray and smash it before it gets anywhere.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Because there could be times that maybe you can tell that, my marriage, something, the devil is trying to misbehave. Or my finances. I see the way my boss has been talking to me. Of late, he stopped giving me work. Everybody has a certain number of hours they need to work. All of a sudden, my work has been cut down into half. You have watched. If you don't watch, you will continue to think that it's a normal thing, or try to rationalize it, and the devil would have just taken the job from you. But you watch and pray. You see something that is wrong or something that is a bit funny, and then you pray and you tackle it in the Spirit.
Amen.
How many are getting what I'm saying?
Amen.
Amen. Very important. Then we began to talk about the first law of intercession, which is the law the first law of intercession. Hallelujah. And we said that the first is how to intercede against the law of degeneration. Amen. We first talked about what intercession is. Amen. And we said that intercession, to intercede, means to intervene, interfere, or to mediate. So to intercede means to interfere, to intervene, to mediate. So you are normally interceding between two.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You have God and you have the world, or someone in sin, or who is in trouble.
That's right.
Or who is captured by the devil. So you are in the middle and you are speaking to God like Moses did when the children of Israel were going to be wiped out by God. Moses was in the middle and said, God, I'm pleading for them. Please do not wipe them out. Show them mercy. Miriam spoke against me and she's leprous. Lord, please heal her for my sake. The person in the middle. Now you can also intercede and be the middle concerning your life. How God is going to show mercy to you and I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Because to intercede means to interfere, intervene. Hallelujah. We often think that intercession just prevents the devil from attacking Christians. Intercession deals with much more than that. It includes that, but it deals with much more. Hallelujah. It deals with certain laws that are in place in this earth today. When we understand these things, we will know what to pray about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Intercession means to come between so as to modify the course of events. I'm preaching to somebody. So, someone was moving a certain path, getting ready to enter into a cliff or an abyss or a cliff, fall of a cliff. Now, what is happening is someone interceding is going to modify the course of events. Meanwhile, if the cliff is here and someone is walking back towards the cliff, my son, when he was a young boy and he was a child, toddler, and we did something he didn't like or he asked for candy and didn't get it, then he starts moving back. He can just trip and fall. So, to intercede, when someone is moving back, and this is a cliff to their death, you modify the course of events, and then they move to the different direction, to the positive direction. Am I preaching to somebody? That is to intercede. An interceding person becomes situated between things. When someone is interceding, they are situated between things. That's why there's a certain pastor of mine who he was praying for a married. He was counseling. I was sitting and you know, because when you are assisting someone counseling, you learn and just observe.
That's right.
Hallelujah, and you chip in. This is what pastor is saying. Do you understand? So I did that because I was also learning what was going on. And I heard him make a statement. He said, Satan, this marriage, you cannot come near this marriage anymore. Before you come to the marriage, you have to pass through me. From that night for a few weeks, maybe a couple of weeks, flying things in the room. Flying things flying the room, spirits, because I have to pass. You said in Jesus' name, you have to pass through me. In Jesus' name, you have no right to them. In Jesus' name, so they have to follow that instruction because Jesus' name was mentioned. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him, giving him above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the spirits were moving all over the room, like a movie, Nigerian movie. It was not a Nigerian movie; it was a real event. Until one day he was very tired at work all the time because he had to be fighting devils, and then one day he got angry and decided that he's going to exercise his authority. Very soon, I'll preach about the believer's authority.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he decided to exercise his authority. Because when you are exercising your authority as a Christian, you don't hope. In the name of Jesus Christ, mountain, be moved. In Jesus' name. Continue your daily duties as if, so far as you are concerned, it's moved. It's not possible, it's not moved. And shall not doubt in his heart. So he got angry and exercised his authority and said, from today, you cannot come to my house again. That was the end of that problem. In Jesus' name. If you don't say in Jesus' name, they will just bully, they'll multiply. Because you and I have no right to say anything without the name of Jesus. I also preached one day about the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So interceding you have to go in between. Am I preaching to somebody? Now, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If I before then, let's just go to Ezekiel chapter 20. Let's start from 28 and then we'll come to Jeremiah 2. Ezekiel chapter 22:28. Good, very good. For when I had brought them into the land for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill and all thick trees, and they offered their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also, if you go back, sorry, 20, yes. There also they made their sweet savor and poured out there their drink offerings. Very good. 29. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto ye go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers? Meaning that you had sinned and God was telling them, have you polluted after the manner of your fathers? And committed ye whoredom after their abominations? For when ye offer your gifts, when ye make your sons to pass through the fire, that was divination. They were using that for worshiping Molech and some of these demonic figures or these pagan idols. Walk passing through the fire. Ye pollute yourselves with all your idols even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Meaning that I'm not going to be entreated by you. You're not going to call me and hear anything. You've sinned so much. You've committed whoredom with idols. You've worshipped other gods. I'm so angry with you. I don't know what you can tell me that will help. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. As I live, saith the Lord. At 22, that's why it's... thank you. Because I was waiting for the thing. Thank you. Very, very important that the verse, hallelujah. But this is also important because we started from 20, so all that is leading to this. Even though this is not what we're looking for. But thanks, otherwise we'd have wasted the whole time on 20 looking for it. Thank you. Ezekiel 22:28, and her prophets have dabbed with them untempted mortar, seeing vanity and dividing lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord had not spoken. So, idol worship, now false prophecies. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap, intercede before me and me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Let's keep it here, verse 30. I sought, because God prefers mercy. Can I? My handkerchief. God prefers mercy to judgment. We read it from James. James 2 says, for judgment will prevail against mercy for the one who has shown no mercy. For mercy rejoiceth against judgment. James 2:13, meaning that mercy is to be preferred to judgment. So God is always looking for ways to show mercy. But if the people have done so much wrong, there needs to be a punishment unless someone will stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Hallelujah. Amen. And make up the hedge. How many are getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So we can go back to Ezekiel. And make up the hedge. How many are getting what I'm saying? Because we need to make up the hedge. And intercede.
That's right.
And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. So that and pray, God, help me. You see, and Moses and Abraham were very important people. Why? Because they knew how to intercede, not for their family members only, but for people. How many know about Abraham's intercession? Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes. He said, God, if there are 10 righteous, if there are X righteous all the way down. That was intercession. Because he was interceding for people. Moses, if it was not for Moses' faithfulness and intercession, there will be no Israel. And that's why God said, Miriam and Aaron, do you not know that Moses is faithful in my house or my house? Do you know what, you are standing here because of Moses? And you are going to talk against him?
Wow.
Then God just left there. Just left. That's a whole different story. Hallelujah. Look at it in NLT. Ezekiel 22:30. Am I preaching to somebody? I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I found no one. Look at NASB. I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I will not destroy it. But I found no one. Because anytime they did wrong, God destroyed the land and caused famine and all sorts of things. Of course, God didn't physically destroy the land, but he allowed. You see, what you and I must understand is that the devil and the demons, they are ready for you and I. They are ready. They are ready. So if God just says, okay, they'll pounce. But it's God's protection on everyone, not just the Christians, and everyone. God protects. But God has special protection for the Christians. Do you think the devil, who has at least some wisdom, wouldn't it be better for him to kill all the unbelievers so that they go to hell and no one gets saved? Then the saved population will remain the same number. But he can't do anything. He can't just do what he wants. But from time to time, he's able to get some and kill them. That's why people die young. What do you think?
Right.
Jeremiah 2:21. Let's go to Jeremiah 2:21. Hallelujah. But the book of Job tells us, thank God for the book of Job. It tells us that God, the devil can't do anything he wants. For a cold, for a virus, which is a living organism, to enter and enter into your cells, God has to agree. For a bacteria, there are viruses, bacteria, fungal, parasites, all those things. So for a bacteria to enter into the body and to attach to a cell, I learned about bacteria, viruses, and how they act on cells with my son's school, his biology book. And then I delved into it more. Hallelujah. But I'm sure if I ask him, he will not be able to answer, see what viruses and bacteria do. That's why we must understand what we read. Oh. We must read and read and read. Okay, anyway. Jeremiah 2:21. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Meaning that God, let's look at it in NLT, this verse. This is the law of degeneration, the first. How could this happen? When I planted you, I chose a vine of the purest stock. This Israel. Israel is the true vine. And we, the Gentiles, were the wild vines grafted in. So God is saying, how could this happen? When I planted you, I chose a vine of the purest stock. I chose you. I chose you, Israel. The very best. How did you grow into this corrupt wild vine? Through the law of degeneration. Proverbs 27, 23 and 24. I'm just recapping. Know the state of your flocks and put your heart into caring for your heads. For riches don't last forever, and the crown might not be secure for the next generation. You can keep it there. So it means that riches will not last forever because sometimes the strength will decay, or the crown will not last or be secure to the next generation. Look at it. You see that David the king was the strongest king because he was God's firstborn or first ranking. He was number one, the greatest king on earth. Of course, Jesus, you can't say Jesus was the greatest king on earth because he's God. So we're talking about human. He was the greatest human, the king on earth. David the king. He was first ranking. After him, Solomon was next, and he was also a great king. But because of his sins, you realize that the crown became weaker and weaker and weaker. In fact, after Solomon, then the crown was divided. The northern and what? Southern kingdom. Is that right?
Yeah.
And then we have Judah, because Judah had to stand for the sake of David. So there always had to be a light. God promised David. So there had to be a light in Judah just for David's sake. But you realize that after Solomon, it was no more a strong kingdom, but divided. And then you realize that the kings became weaker and weaker and weaker. So it means that if you and I are not careful and we don't intercede against the law of degeneration or the law of decay, you realize that things will start to deteriorate. Even our power, even our influence, even our strength, even the things we do, things will just start to go down. Things will start to decay. The church will start to decay. Our families will start to decay. Even our love for each other or our lives, the substance will start to decay. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Because, now go back to verse 23. Know the state of your flock. It's important to know the state of our affairs. We need to know the state of our affairs so that we can start to pray, intercede, and check things. Because, look, this life can happen. Things can, if a life can happen,
yes,
so fast that before you realize things have deteriorated already and gone to the 0 degree. Things have gone down, decayed. Sometimes it can decay so fast that it will be very, very, it may be irreparable. It will be very, very hard to take it back to its original state. That's why you and I must know the state of our flock or know the state of our affairs and put our heart into caring for our lives. Care for the things you do, whether it's school, your learning, your job, your life, your marriage, your family, your whatever it is. Care for it, your health. Care for it. Pray about it, intercede, and actively engage in making it work.
Amen.
You understand? We have to. Amen. We have to be involved. Why? The next verse. For riches don't last forever. So even if you and I have a business, you can't, because the business is doing well, you can't let the fact that the business is doing well just cause you to relax. Because sometimes the business can be doing very, very well, but one thing can just pull it down.
That's right.
One thing can just pull it down. So riches don't last forever, and the crown or the strength might not necessarily continue to the next generation. But the Bible says a righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. The Bible says that David the king died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead. The law of degeneration. To degenerate means to gradually become of a lower type. It is a gradual falling off to a lower form of development. I don't think any of us want to be at a lower form or degenerate or decayed. Or decay, rather. Number two. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. So the second law. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Very good. Love not the world. Oh, but I live for the world. Someone will say, love not the world. Talking to myself and to all of us. No, but you don't understand. But I want to live in this world. You see, Bishop said there was a time he went to one of the countries, Asian countries, and there was a very rich man who owned the golf course, owned buildings, own different things. And he said to himself, wow, this man, even if he says to himself that, look, I want to live to continue to enjoy this beauty and holds on to the tree, he'll still die. Even if he has masks, like Michael Jackson at that point had masks, so that you don't get infections, you will die still. No matter what happens, we will die. Oxygen chambers. You see, the oxygen chambers are very important. Because oxygen, actually, if you are able to stay in an oxygen chamber, which is very, very expensive to keep, millions, if you are able to stay in those oxygen chambers, most likely cancers, many cancers will be cured. Because cancer thrives in acidity and oxygen. You don't see oxygen when there's cancer. You hardly see oxygen when there's cancer. Oxygen helps to smash out cancer. You die still. Even in that play, because it's not only cancer that kills. You still die.
Right.
No matter what we do, death, we will die. Unless Christ tarries.
That's right.
My friend Sarge says that, well, he is planning to stay till whenever. Unless you have that kind of faith. Which is, well, why not? Why not? You can live to 300 years. Why not? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Many people love the world. Many people live for the world. But God says, love not the world. Give me one reason. Who can tell me one reason? Very simple reason why we shouldn't love the world. It's vanity. That's actually the case. It's vanity because we will die and leave the world. It's vanity. Look, the Bible says that we came into this world with nothing, and it is certain we will leave with nothing. Yeah, we entered into this world naked. We will leave naked. It will, no matter the clothes and the jewelry on us in the coffin, we will leave naked. So it's vanity. That's why we shouldn't love the world or the things that are in the world. The Bible says that for where your heart is, your treasure is. So where is your treasure? That is where your heart is.
That's right.
It goes both ways. Where your treasure is, it shows where your heart is. Now, where your heart is, you put your treasure there. So sometimes it makes it hard to tell which one in the Bible actually said.
Wow.
Because they both can work. What do you think? Am I preaching?
Preaching good.
Look at Matthew 6:21. Oh, yeah. Matthew 6:21. Oh, good. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? Is it in heaven or is it on earth? Where is my treasure? Is it in heaven or is it on earth? Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Try Colossians 3. I think it's Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things. I'm going to just state it and continue. I'm not going to talk about it. Otherwise, we won't finish. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go back to 1 John and let's continue. 1 John 2:15-17. Wow. Let's put our hands together for Wally. Right. It's working fast. Good. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wow. So it means that if I love the world, then the Father God, the love of God is not in me. Is it crystal clear? It's what the Bible says. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, which affects us and affected Adam. And the devil tried to tempt Jesus on that. The lust of the flesh. And the lust of the eyes. How many have been tempted with the lust of the eyes? Not just men. Don't shut me down. Preaching. And it's not only about sex. Even money and beautiful things. Material things. Cars. I'm sure everybody's mind was sex. No. Sex is a key part of it. But there's more about it. There's cars. There's money. There are houses. So jewelry. All these things. Sorry? Range Rover, all these things. Hallelujah. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's the world. That anyone in the world, that's all they think about. Everyone in the world thinks about the pride of life. What people think. I must... keep the impressions. I must keep the image. My image. I must. Have you seen Zorro? Zorro, the guy. I must have the mask so that people will not see me for me, but they'll see me as someone else. Keeping up impressions. That the pride of life. I want to be somebody. I want to be known. I want to be famous. I want to buy that nice car so that people will see. I want to buy that huge mansion so that people will see. I want to achieve this thing so that I can tell people who I am. The pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away. That's the key. And the lust thereof. Glory. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the law of the world. You and I must intercede against the law of the world. Now the world has a pervasive influence on the church and on you and I. Much of the church has become worldly and secular. Oh, yes. The Bible actually says that, turn away from those who say that godliness is the means to gain. But now, we're always hearing about how to gain and how godliness should be a means to gain. Oh, you don't hear that always on preaching, people preaching. People will not endure sound doctrine. When you go to a crowd, let's assume you go to a crowd of 10,000 people, Christians, and you have two places, unknown people. Two rooms, halls. One is speaking about money and how to get cars. Another is thinking, preaching about how to love God. Where do you think people flock? Of course, no brainer. They'll flock to the money. People will not endure sound doctrine. Because the church has now become secular and worldly. What do you think? Am I preaching to somebody? Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We start from verse 1. Got just a few moments. I charge thee therefore, this Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy the pastor. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, that's the quick, at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. So this is what he's telling to a pastor. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. Reprove. Rebuke. You see that there are three things. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. So there are three things that we are being charged to do as pastors. Reprove and rebuke are correcting and instructions and things that are not comfortable. There's only one that is comfortable, which is exhort. But it's flipped most of the time. I see that car. Receive it. It's important to do that. We'll do that many times. We have to do that. Because God has given us the victory. And he says that the word of faith is in our mouth. Oh, yes. How many times have I proclaimed? How many times have I said in Jesus' name? I've told some. How many times? This year you are marrying and the person marries. Receive your eyesight. The person receives their eyesight completely. Receive the power of God. Receive your healing and the person gets out of their wheelchair. But that's one third. But let's continue. With exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Fables meaning that you can say all the things. I've had people, someone come to church who used to go to this prophet, go all over the place. And I've seen her friend who used to continue to go to all these places stand here. I've seen how just the teaching sound doctrine has fixed this one. And this one has a good job. Things are working. And this one who has been going for all these meetings is still going for the meetings and still looking for jobs. It is beautifully amazing. That's why it's called fables. Because they'll lie to you and tell you things that will not happen. But it's good to hear. Next verse. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make foolproof your ministry. Amen. Now let's go back to 1 John. So the world has a pervasive influence on the church. Intercession needs to go on so that you and I do not become worldly. Just make sure. Yeah. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. The things that are in the world, the lusts of the flesh and the lust of the eye, stick themselves to Christians without them realizing it. Look at someone who was very strong in the Lord, like Demas, who was a companion of Apostle Paul, who was taken over by the world. 2 Timothy 4:10, quickly, the time is up. Henceforth there is, could that be, yes, good, 4:10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having left this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. So you can see clearly how the world can affect you and I. So let's intercede. Pray, Father God, deliver me from the law of the world. Deliver me from becoming worldly. Deliver me from loving the world. Father God, let me love you more and not that love the world. Because the Bible says in James that by friendship with the world is enmity towards God. Lord, I don't want to be your enemy. I want to not be worldly. I want to be someone who focuses on you. Lord, deliver me from worldliness. I pray against worldliness. I intercede against the law of the world so that I'll not be worldly, but I'll be spiritual. You and I must pray. We must deliberately pray this prayer. Otherwise, worldliness can seep in and we think we are spiritual, but we are actually worldly. I'm not out of word. I'm just out of time. Wow. We'll continue God willing next week. Shall we stand to our feet? Oh, Jesus, we give you praise. Let's speak to God and ask him to deliver us from the law of degeneration and the law of the world. Lord, deliver me from the law of the world. Deliver me from the law of degeneration. Hallelujah. Yes, deliver. Deliverance, 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 deliverance. Yes, Lord. Deliver me. Ask the Lord to deliver you from the law of degeneration, the law of decay, the law of the world. May I not be worldly. May I not love the world. Father God, give us the grace not to love the world, not to be worldly, oh God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just speak to him for a minute or two. Lord, deliver me, oh God. I don't want to be worldly. I don't want to be worldly. I don't want to love the world. I don't want to love the world, but I want to love you. Give me the grace to set my affection on things above, not on things on the earth. May I not love the things of the earth, but may I love the things of God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. Help us, Jesus. Help us, oh God. Oh, let's sing, I fix my eyes on you. Let's sing it once.
I fix my eyes on you.
Sing it up a minute.
The author of my faith, casting aside every sin and every way. I fix my eyes on you. I lay my burdens down, letting the cares of this world now fade away.
One thing, oh God.
One thing I see, this one thing I see, that I may dwell in your house, O Lord, my King. All the days of my life, I want to gaze upon your beauty. Sing you in this holy place.
I fix my eyes on you.
I fix my eyes on you. I lay my my burdens down, letting the cares of this world not fade away.
One thing, oh God,
one thing I ask, just one thing I see, that I may dwell in your house, oh Lord, my King. All the days of my life, I want to gaze upon your beauty and seek you in this holy place.
One thing,
one thing I ask, this one thing I see, I may dwell in your house, oh Lord, my King. Of my life, I want to gaze upon your beauty, seek you in this holy place.
I want to give someone the opportunity who doesn't know Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're here or you're watching and you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I don't know Jesus Christ. I don't know whether if I die today, I'll go to heaven. I don't know whether if I die today, I'll go to heaven, but I want my sins forgiven and I want Jesus Christ. I want to be washed with the blood of Jesus. I want to be born again. If you are here like that, lift your hands high up and I'll pray with you. Very good. I see a hand. And I want to, and if you're also watching and you can just raise your hands where you are, can I ask you to come forward? Let me just pray with you. Hallelujah. Very good. And yes, I want you to repeat after me. And let's all repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you.
I come to you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I confess.
I confess.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe.
I believe.
That he died on the cross.
That he died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
I believe.
I believe.
That God raised him from the dead.
That God raised him from the dead.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For all my sins.
For all my sins.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
From all unrighteousness.
From all unrighteousness.
From today.
From today.
I belong to Jesus
Christ. I belong to Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For saving me.
For saving me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. Should I pray? Father God, bless her. Bless our sister. What's your name?
Larissa.
Bless Larissa, oh God.
Thank you so much.
Bless her. Grant her favor. Father God, touch her and bless her. Cause her to see marvelous things. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise God.